Okay, we're going to try that again. Well, good evening. Thank you. Thank you. My heavenly days, I thought y'all had already gone to sleep. And Merry Christmas Eve. This is our Christmas Eve service. A little different focus tonight. This is really for the children, and we seem to have a bit of a dearth of children. So I'll ask children of all ages, especially those over 95, please come up when the time is called, sit on the floor. We will have wreckers and come-alongs to get you back up after the service. Oh, it's good to be here with you this evening. Seems like last year I missed because I had fallen down a set of steps and had this glorious thing called a concussion, which altered my reality for a day or two. And when I came to, Vicki said, by the way, you missed the Christmas Eve service. And I said, oh, that was only about my fourth time at that church anyway. So I've been trying to make up for lost time ever since. Couple of announcements. We are receiving an offering of non-perishable food during the offertory down here in the basket in front of the communion table. That will go to stock our little free pantry that most of you know about. It is food that is available free of charge to anybody in the community that needs it. And we tell people, take what you need, leave what you can. So that is part of our service tonight. Secondly, Haynes found a lens. It was in the aisle. If you find you are having difficulty tonight driving home, I've got the answer to your problem right here. And it will be here on top of the pulpit, top left corner. And just take this moment right now. Feel your glasses if you wear them. Yeah, okay. Anybody missing a lens? All right. Well, we will. It's there. And if somebody complains to you, I lost my sight in church. No, you didn't. You just misplaced it. Okay, any other announcements tonight? We are just glad that you are here on this Christmas Eve celebrating this time together. And so we begin our worship as we always do. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us exchange the peace. Almighty and eternal God, giver of all good gifts, we pause before you on this, the eve of the birth of our Lord and Savior. We're grateful for the gift you gave us in him. We're also grateful for the gift of fellowship and love which we have in this congregation. We thank you for the air of excitement that pervades everything we do and all the things that we hope for. So send, we pray, your Holy Spirit to us in this time, and grant that all that we do may glorify your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Huh? You agree with her? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Haynes, what's your favorite memory of Christmas?
The night when Santa comes.
The night when Santa comes. That's right. Okay. Well, let's see. Anybody else have a memory of Christmas you want to share? Don't be shy now. This is an interactive service. You didn't know that when you signed up and paid your $1.50, did you? No, you didn't. But here we are. Well, one of my favorite Christmases, I remember growing up, my father was a big fan of making those homemade movies of us coming down the stairs for Christmas. And I never realized until I looked at those homemade movies a few years back, I was a skinny, ugly kid, and I was terrified of the camera, because this camera that you wound up had a bank of six lights that blazed with the brightness and the heat of the sun.
And the children would all come down the stairs, and you could see us. We were blinded. We stumbled around the living room for about 5 minutes until we could see again. And I told the congregation, and this is a fresh one for some of you, we have it on Technicolor, my sister throwing up. It was a marvelous moment, one of my best Christmases ever. And she's not here to defend herself. My sister-in-law is back there, Kelly Ellis Nee Davis, who, but she's been sworn to secrecy and paid handsomely. So that was one of my favorite Christmases. And then there was another one when Mama got a little mad. Have you ever seen your parents get mad on Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm not going to ask you what happened. Okay. Well, okay. You just never know with Haynes what's going to happen, you know? Well, anyway, my mother was old, old Atlanta. And I never heard a stronger word come from her lips than sugar. Now, she could put a spin on sugar that led you to believe that that was not her first word of choice, if you're following me. And so one Christmas, we were all there together at the house, and my brother and my sister and I were all in the living room with Dad, and Mama was in the kitchen, and she was getting a little bit perturbed at us because we were not helping her in the least. She didn't ask us to. She, you know, made that common mistake of mothers and wives that we will somehow, by way of ESP, figure out that she needs help. And she'd been back there about 5 minutes, and I heard pots and pans kind of jiggling and jangling around. And then all of a sudden, every pot and pan in the kitchen fell out of the cupboard onto the floor. And Mama yelled out, "Sugar!" But it wasn't sugar, she said. And so from then on, every Christmas, when we heard all the pots and pans falling out of the cupboard, because it became a Christmas tradition in our house, and as soon as Mama shouted out, "Sugar!" we'd all go prancing in there and singing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." She never thought it was very funny. But that was one of my favorite memories of Christmas. Now, does that spark anything? No? It's going to be a long 25 minutes here tonight, I can tell. Well.
I remember one time.
Yeah? What's that, Haynes? Yeah, and was it good? You got good things in your stockings, okay. What about out here? Do y'all have any Christmas memories or wishes for this Christmas? You want? Okay, yes. That is a good memory. Thank you, Sue. Anybody else got one you want to share? Anybody got one you just don't want to share? No, okay. Well, I won't put you on the spot anymore tonight. Let's see what is we're doing next. We're going to sing another hymn. Okay. Let's stand up and sing, shall we?
Was
in comparison of angel age, she was a very young angel. She was what's called a cherub. And she was kind of like an angel in training. And she was, I guess maybe she was about your age, Hannah, if we had to say in human years. But actually, she was much, much older than that because angels live a very, very long time. So Nephi was waiting to get her diamond halo. She had her gold halo, but only real angels, fully formed angels, get the diamond halo. And so the deal was, you got your diamond halo when you had done some great service for the king. Now, who do you guess the king was? God, yes. God was the king. And whenever the angel did a special service for the king would often award that angel the diamond halo. Well, truth be told, Nephi wasn't all that dissatisfied with her golden halo because she didn't have a lot that she had to do. She didn't have to sing in the heavenly chorus. She didn't have to go about and carry messages back and forth from God to people. All she really had to do was to make sure that her golden harp was always shiny and that it was always in tune, because you never knew when somebody might ask her to sing. But it was kind of boring after a few hundred thousand years, you know, sitting there waiting for things to happen. And so meanwhile, things were happening behind the scenes. And one day, Michael the archangel showed up. Now, Michael being an archangel, that meant he was not just an angel. He was kind of one of the big angels. He was one of the ones God called on to do special tasks, like guard the Garden of Eden to make sure people didn't get back into it. Guard the garden, that's right. And he would do things like go off and fight mean people and mean spirits. He would be in charge of taking care of them. So when Nephi saw Michael show up on her doorstep, she knew something was happening because she'd only seen him once before. And that was a couple hundred thousand years earlier. So, Michael looked down at Nephi because, you see, Michael stood about as tall as this room, and Nephi stood about as tall as you and me. And Michael looked down at her and he said, Nephi, got a job for you. And Nephi said, well, Michael, what do you have in mind? Says, I want you to go to the earth. And I want you to lead an animal. And she said, where is the animal going? You don't need to know that. All you need to know is that you need to lead it. And before you can lead the animal, you have to become friends with the animal. And she said, well, Michael, what kind of animal is it? Well, Nephi, it's a donkey. It's a donkey by the name of Ear. Ear. And he's down there outside of a little town called Nazareth. Well, how am I supposed to introduce myself to Ear? Well, there's not much you have to do because Ear isn't really all that aware of what's going on around him. He's mostly just interested in the sweet grass he eats every day. So you just walk up to him and you start talking to him. And Nephi says, do I know how to speak donkey? And Michael said, probably not. But I think Ear understands angel. So she went down there. And sure enough, there was Ear, who, by the way, was the great, 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 great grandfather of another donkey named Eeyore. You know of Eeyore from the 100-acre wood with Christopher Robin? And Eeyore and Eeyore, they kind of had a common trait. They were both not used to looking on the bright side of things. Eeyore just wanted to eat his sweet grass and be left alone. And so when Neffy showed up, she said, "Hey, Eeyore," and he said, "What?" She said, "I've got a message." "Well, who are you?" "My name's Neffy." "What are you?" "I'm a cherub, an almost angel." "What's the message?" "We're going to go to a town, and we've got to carry a woman and her baby, and the man is going to walk along beside us." And so he said, "Who are they?" She said, "Well, her name is Mary." "I know her. She's a sweet little thing, but she's been getting bigger lately. She's been eating too much sweet grass, I think. That makes them get like that. That or there's something else. Let me think of what it might be. Oh, she's not going to have a baby, is she?" "Well, yeah, that's not really for me to know or for you to find out." "All right. Will there be food along the way?" "I expect so." "Will there be water along the way?" "I would imagine so." "Will there be other donkeys for me to frolic with?" "I don't think so." "That's good, because I don't like frolicking." So anyway, they went to the house of Mary and Joseph, and there they met up with them. And Eeyore said, "Well, here he comes, and he's got a rope in his hand." "Okay, what's wrong with that?" "Well, when people come to me with a rope in their hand, it usually means that they're going to take me someplace I don't want to go." "Well, Eeyore, you just hang with me. It will be fun." "I don't think so, but I'll go anyway." So Mary and Joseph started their trip. And Mary had to get on the top of Eeyore because she was, as Scripture says, great with child, which meant she had eaten a whole lot of sweet hay from Eeyore's perspective. And they traveled, and they traveled, and they traveled. And Neffy was just delighted. She got to see the countryside. She got to see people. She was able to see other angels hard at work doing things. But Eeyore, well, he wasn't so happy. "It's just the same countryside over and over and over again. And I'm tired, and my back hurts, and my feet hurt, and my neck hurts. And Lord knows my mouth hurts from having this rope going across it." And he complained, and he complained, and he complained. And finally, after a long day's, couple of days walking, they came to this little town. Can you guess what the name of it was?
What?
Bethlehem. Or as they said in Hebrew, Bethlehem. Can you say that? Bethlehem. That's right. It means the house of bread. And that's in Hebrew, which has part of its pronunciation is incipient vomiting. Yes, it is. So they go to Bethlehem. and Nephi and Eir, well, they look at the Holiday Inn and it's all full. And they go to the Hampton and it's all full. And they went to the Marriott and it's all full. And finally, the manager of Days Inn says, I've got a garage out here. Y'all can stay out there if you want to. It's not much, but it will keep you out of the rain. And you can build a little fire. And you can be there all night if you need. So Nephi went ahead and made sure things were okay. And then here came Eir, Hall and Mary still. And they found a little place. It wasn't really a garage, but it might as well have been. It was a place where everybody's vehicles were, which is to say donkeys. And there were some other things in there too. What other things do you think were in that garage? Well, it was technically a barn, yeah, kind of, sort of, somewhat. Yes, sir.
Other animals?
Other animals? What kind of animals?
Like sheep and goats.
Sheep and goats and
cows.
Who? Cows, yes, and oxen, geese,
chickens.
Who? Pigs? Probably not. Okay. This was a Jewish community, you got to remember. But it's a good thought. Donkeys, yes. And so they all bedded down as best they could. And Nephi was sitting there watching everything, and Eir was eating the hay. And all of a sudden, Mary started making some strange sounds. And I won't bore you with the details. But the next thing they knew, The next thing they knew, there was another sound there in the barn. What do you think that sound was?
Crying.
Yes. I know there's a hymn that says, Jesus never cried, but I never believed that one because I raised two boys and I know better, okay? So the baby was born and Nephi was sitting there and Eir was sitting there, and all of a sudden, Nephi feels something. And she looks around, and bless Pat, if Michael isn't right there, standing, and he had to kind of scooch himself down a little bit to fit inside of the barn, okay? Because he was very tall. Remember how tall he was? Okay. He had to scooch down. And he looked, and he said, Nephi, you have done well. And Nephi said, really? Are you sure? And Michael said, yes. And then Michael looked down at Eir, and Eir looked up at Michael. And for the first time in his life, Eir had nothing bad to say. Because he saw Michael, and he thought to himself, I better say something really nice to this person because he can hurt me if I don't. And Michael looked down at Eir and he smiled. And Nephi and Mike and Eir said at the same time, what's going on? And Michael said, just look up there. And every single angel in God's heaven, even the cherubim, or the cherubs who were the angels in training, they were all up there and they were singing. Well, they were singing that first hymn that we sang tonight, Go Tell It on the Mountain. They were singing and they were happy and they were dancing. And if you've never seen an angel dance, well, it is something to see. Let me tell you, it puts break dancing to shame. And so they stood there, and pretty soon other people showed up. Some shepherds came in. They were wondering what all the ruckus was about. And Nephi and Eir decided they better stand back a little bit. And about this time, Joseph, remember Joseph? Yeah, he doesn't get a whole lot of press, in case you missed it this morning. Joseph came over to Eir and had not only some fresh hay to give him, but also had some oats and some special treats that he put down in front of Eir. And he said to Eir, "I know you can't understand a word that I am saying, but we are so happy to have you as part of our family. And we're going to keep you at our home forever and ever. And you're going to be a part of us, and we are going to love you." And Eir just pricked up his ears, and for the first time in his life, he had a broad donkey smile. And he looked over at Nephi, and he said, "They can't see you, can they?" And she said, "No, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm happy that you're happy and part of all of this." And suddenly, Michael looked down at Nephi, and he said, "You don't have a clue, do you?" And she said, "No, Michael, I don't." And he said, "Feel your head." She reached up there and felt, and instead of that old gold halo, it had rocks on it. Beautiful, shiny rocks that were really what?
Diamonds.
And not only that, she felt in her shoulders, she felt, oh, something's back there. She looked back, and there were beautiful golden wings that replaced the little stubby white ones she had had. And Michael said to all the hosts of heaven, "We want you to welcome our newest angel, Nephi, whose real name is Nephilim, the Hebrew word for angels." And so, if you look carefully on a bright, starshine night, you might just see Nephi up there flying around doing the Lord's business. And the next time you see a donkey, and the donkey makes a sound like what, Haynes? Oh, do it better. Come on. That might be a descendant of none other than Eir. And maybe it would do you good to go back during these next few days and read about, well, Christopher Robin and the 100-acre wood, and see what's happening with our old friend Eeyore. And you'll see that he and his great, 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 great grandfather are not that far apart after all. Okay? That's my story that I've made for you this Christmas. And I hope it didn't bore you. I hope it didn't make you homesick to go home and eat a big supper. I hope you've already had that. Well, let's have a prayer together. Lord, we do thank you for the joy of Christmas and the many different people who come into our lives. Sometimes we don't expect them, and yet there they are. And we ask that you will give to each of these children and the children of all ages a blessed, joyful, and holy Christmas through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, I will see you next Sunday. And for those of us who are here, as we have the offertory, please bring your non-perishable goods up for the free little pantry. Thank you.
Let us have a prayer together, a prayer for this Christmas Eve. Let us pray. The darkness is enfolding us, O Lord. There's a little bit of a chill in the air, and all around the world, we sense the presence of angels singing and children awakening to wonderful things and hopes and dreams being expressed. And Lord, we want to be part of all of that. We want to be a part of the joy of the season. We want to be part of the gift giving and the celebrations and the dinners. And yet, Lord, we also know that there are places in this world which are dark, which are illuminated only by explosions of artillery and airstrikes and rifle fire and grenades. And Lord, we pray for those places too. For there we know your angels are hard at work, bringing comfort to those who are uncomfortable, food to the hungry, hope to the hopeless. And that's part of our world too. Help us to remember that, O Lord, especially in these days which seem to be increasingly given over to despair. Lord, you have not left the world without hope. You have brought us into it. And as we go to our homes and later to our places of work and study, Lord, help us to remember that we too are the Christmas angels. We are the Nephilim. We are those who bring good news. Help us never to forsake our true and highest calling as children of your kingdom. A long time ago, O Lord, a child was born into poverty. And soon he and his family were refugees. And then they returned home to find everything different. People they had known were gone, and things they had known had changed. But they continued and they persevered and they kept their faith and they changed your world through their son, Jesus. Remind us that we are called to be the same, to do the same, and to share that same word of hope. And in many ways, to be that hope. On this Christmas Eve, O Lord, as we hear again the angels sing, may we join our voices with them. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.